Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the NWAC South Fast Break Show. We do this show every Monday night at 9:30 Pacific Time. If you cannot listen live, as many of you are not able to do, but you do this, and for anybody that hasn't done it, it's very simple. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com in the search engine. Punch in the NWAC South Fast Break Show. You'll get every single show that we have ever done, which is a lot of them. I need to count those up someday, but you know what? I'm good at math, but I'm it's going to take a little time. Maybe next week I will tell everybody how many shows that we have done. But I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. And usually I follow back, I'm getting close to that 2,000 mark, which I said that I might retire from Twitter when I hit that and everything. But here's a guy that's not retiring, and he leads us off each week. Trevor Hopp, the outstanding men's coach at Southwestern Oregon Community College. And Trevor, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing really great, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Every week you're on, you lead us off. You'd make $10 million as a leadoff hitter because you do such a great job. You know, Trevor, we often talk on the program about how tough it is, the NWAC South, and it's got great coaches and teams that are always prepared, and the league is just brutal. What's great to you about coaching in the NWAC South Division? Men's basketball.
Well, you know, I think a lot of that stuff, it's competitive, the competitive spirit. There's just such good teams, such good players, such good coaches from top to bottom. There's no easy game. So if you're a competitor and you love good basketball, those things really jump out at you. And that's what, really excites me about the season coming up here is just knowing that hopefully I think we're going to be a little bit better this year, but then looking around and listening to other coaches and seeing people that are going other places, it's like, wow, they're going to be good too. And so it's going to be another great experience.
You know, not that I'm doubting you, because you're such a talented basketball coach, but what makes you think that you're going to be better this year?
Well, I think we're a little bit bigger. Looking around, it looks like we can shoot it a little bit better. I think the character from top to bottom in the team is very strong, which is something that can never be underrated. And just, surrounding ourselves with good guys and good people that want to go to college and want to be part of something special and want to sacrifice and be part of a team. I think those things are really, really important. And I think we have that. And seeing our guys play a couple times this weekend and meeting today was exciting. And we're looking forward to getting on the court and really testing some of that stuff tomorrow.
What made that, and I'm sounding like a lawyer tonight, but I'm really not because I'm intrigued by this. What made that meeting exciting today? What were some of the key points that you can share with our listening audience?
Oh, there was just an excitement in the room. Already our guys are getting to know each other and liking each other and enjoying each other, each other's company, and just their willingness to talk and share and some of the things that were said, I think, just their actions and their eagerness and their willingness to listen, and they're so excited to get started. So that's got me excited.
Very good. And I'm sure we both agree on this, but I want you to comment on, Trevor, anything you do in life anymore, and there's so many things people can do and succeed at, you really have to have a passion for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so important. Just that that inner drive, that passion, that wanting to succeed. Yeah, all those things, I think. But passion is, yeah, that, and that comes from inside the individual, and you got to find the right ones, and definitely something that you try to look for, and it's hard to spot, but when I think when you do see it, it's hard to explain, but you can feel it, and you kind of go from there.
I think it's also important, in my opinion, I want you to comment on this, that, you know, it's, any great coach can motivate his team, but a coach can also get motivated by his players, I think.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. I mean, and you know, they need to be driven, and there are some days that we need to do some motivating, but when they're motivated, that can rub off, and it rubs off on the coach, it rubs off on other players, and so, yeah, and I think, once again, starts with that passion and goes with that, so it's kind of the snowball effect that it, if somebody brings some great passion in there and some great enthusiasm, I think it rubs off on everybody in the whole gym or everybody in the whole weight room or on the track or whatever it happens to be that day.
Trevor, one of the many great things I love about watching your team is you love to get up and go with the basketball. That's my style. I love it. That's just a personal preference. But let me ask you, you mentioned you have some added height this year. Does that change your style at all when you've got some bigger people? Do you have to slow down a little bit? Or does it enhance it because you know you can get out and go because they're going to get the rebounds?
Yeah, you know, that's the way I kind of look at it. It's like, okay, we're a little bit bigger, so hopefully we can rebound a little bit better, which can get start a fast break because it starts with defense and it starts with rebounding, and you really can't be a good fast break team unless you're playing some defense and getting some rebounds. So my hope is that, yeah, a little added height here will maybe help us be a better rebounding team and get us out running and get the game going fast, which is definitely the way we want to play, like you said.
I think for the average fan and maybe for the super fan, one of the stats that really doesn't get talked about like the other stats is rebounding. It's such a critical part to the game. In conclusion tonight, Trevor, what makes a good rebounder?
Well, I think them just wanting to be a good rebounder. I think it starts with that desire and that that hunger that hey, I'm just going to be a good rebounder, and it starts with that, and then you can get into the blocking out and you know, being aggressive and going after the ball. But I think if they just want to be a good rebounder, that's a big part to it right there, is they got a head start because they just want to do it, and it's just a matter of going after that dang ball, whether it's technique or blocking out, but a lot of it has to be just going and getting it. There's something to be said about that.
Trevor, I'm going to keep going because I don't see Coach Jovka yet. You know, where is he? Are we going to have to send out a party here to find him? Or, you know, I mean, we've got some awful good search and rescues in this state.
Yeah, I would hope we don't need to. Hopefully he'll be on here any second. So I think it was his first day of school, too, so it might have been a long day also. He might be tired.
Yes, I know it's overwhelming for him at times, but to even to have me interviewing. But let me ask you, who in your solid career and expert opinion, who's somebody that you really have admired that was a great rebounder on any level and maybe people could really learn from?
You know, I talk about this guy almost all the time, and I always say his name, and nobody knows who he is, and then we laugh about it. But a high school teammate of mine and a college teammate of mine was Al Erickson, and this guy was just an amazing rebounder. And I always tell the stories about how he was a great free throw rebounder too. Any missed free throw, he always got the rebound, and he padded his stats that way. I think he got, you know, two or three just rebounds off the free throw lane, which some guys don't even go after that hard. But he just had a knack for the ball, and he just always was around it and always wanted to be a rebounder. and came pretty close to averaging almost 10 rebounds a game. So, you know, not a lot of people have heard of him, but I played high school with him, and he played at College of the Redwoods, and he played at Humboldt State, and ended up having a nice pro career down in Australia. But Al Erickson, a former teammate of mine, was just an amazing rebounder.
Very good. I love it. Hey, Trevor, have a great week. We'll talk to you again next Monday night.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot for having me. We'll see you later.
You betcha. That's Trevor Opp, Edmonds coach at Southwestern Oregon Community College in beautiful Goose Bay, Oregon. We're going to go a little out of order, and hopefully we'll talk to Coach Jovka tonight. But our person that we always talk to after Coach Jovka and really enjoy visiting with and has won an NWAC championship and a state high school championship, pretty phenomenal, Tony Broaddus, the head men's coach at Portland Community College. How you doing tonight, Tony?
Greg, I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you, Tony. And Tony, the fans of this program are mad at me for not asking you in the last two or three weeks, did you hit a home run this year in softball?
No, I did not. I wish I could tell a lie, but I can't. My power seems to have diminished over the years. I had a good year, but I didn't hit any home runs.
And that's the key, having a good year. Tony, in your own words, I know you think your team's going to have a good year this year. Talk a little bit about it. It's always early, but at the same time, a basketball season, we all talk about it. All of us, when we get together, it just flies by.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. We have a chance to be pretty good, Greg. You know, that's what you hope for going into the season. You can't make any predictions or anything, but we've got three starters back. One, Andre McCowan, had a really good year for us. Battled through some injuries, but he was phenomenal. And he started the league season off with 28 points, 25 points, 23 points. Then he got hurt right before we played Clark, and he was out for four games. And he came back, and it took him a while to get going. But he finished the season and get off with some big numbers as well. So he's back. He just had a 4.0 summer term. He took 16 hours and did really well. So proud of him and the efforts he put in the classroom. And he's a guy who I believe is a low D1 player. He'll be back. He's fun to watch. He's averages probably a couple dunks a game. He dunked on the big kid from Clackamas, who to me was the toughest guy to guard in the whole NWAC to me last year. Big Vince Bowman was a monster. Andre dunked on him one game, was probably the highlight of our year in terms of the individual plays. He's back. KJ Bosco's back, 6'8 kid. It was a first team all freshman team last year. And then we've got a kid from Jefferson, Dario Papavicente. He was our guard last year. He's back. So we've got a good nucleus. And from my experience of years that we've done real well, it's always been when I've returned three starters or maybe more. So I'm hoping to keep that string alive of doing really well when you've got a group that's been a little seasoned.
Tony, I want your assessment on this. I've always wondered, and I know things change dramatically from year to year, but say you were only able to recruit, Oregon players. Obviously, there's talent in Oregon. Is there a depth there in the state of Oregon of people that can play on the college level, especially in the community college level?
I think so. I definitely think so. There's a lot of talent. The PIO had been down for a while, I'd say the last three or four years, in terms of you're still going to have that top talent that goes to some big schools, but just enough where you've got enough talent to where some can go big and there's still enough to fill some of the JCs. That wasn't the case for me last for about three or four years, but now the PIO is back this year. Grant, Jefferson, and Franklin all have top teams that'll compete at the highest level of 6A. And so I think the PIO is back. So to answer your question, I think there is. the depth is there, but it just depends on what level. If you're talking about playing national JUCO level, like we're going to see when we bring North Idaho and Snow College in on November 17th and 18th at our place, then I don't know if you can compete on the junior college level with those guys, because so many of our kids go, the better kids go off to bigger schools, and then the kids that go JC, like a Charles Jones that went to JC, but he goes to Southern Idaho. He went to a national JUCO. So it's a little tough to compete with those schools that are have full ride scholarships they can offer, and they're bringing kids in from around the country. But we can definitely compete. I really believe that there's enough talent around here to compete on all levels.
Very good. Tony, I know you love to talk about rebounding. It obviously is not talked about enough by, I think, people in the media and beyond. But who's the best rebounder you ever saw, and somebody that's a good example for people to maybe study or look at film clips of? Do you have one person that you really thought was awesome?
Yeah, to me, hands down, the best rebounder I ever saw, and not in person, but just in terms of TV and everything, was Dennis Rodman. I thought Rodman was just extraordinary because he's not a big, giant guy. You know, he's not big, bulky, just strong, lean, athletic, and he just had that desire to go get balls on the defensive end or the offensive end, and he was tremendous. And I try to use him as an example with our guys all the time so that they don't think, well, I've got to be a big guy. No, you don't. You have to anticipate the ball coming off, and you have to have that relentless desire to go get it and not be denied from getting the ball. That's a big piece of our system. We've done pretty well in the last couple of years on both offensive and defensive rebounding, and we hope to do that again this year.
Do you like to mix up your defenses and occasionally go to a zone? I see a lot of your games, and generally you're in a man-to-man. Is a zone in your program?
Most definitely. Most definitely. We'll play some zone. Depending on the opponent or depending on the situation in the game, a lot of times you just need to change it up. Sometimes teams get so comfortable with you in man-to-man that they just get to scoring. So we'll change it up. We've got two or three different zones that we use, and we'll use them quite often. There's no doubt about it. You've got to. Against your coaches in this NWAC, boy, you can't stick with one thing. There's no way. You'll get murdered. They can practice and plan for you to just go man, and they know you're going to go man all game. Oh, you're in a world of trouble for the most part because the coaches are too good.
Great job tonight, Tony. A wealth of knowledge and information. People love it. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next Monday night.
All right. Appreciate it. Have a good week.
You betcha. That's Tony Broaddus, the head men's coach of Portland Community College in beautiful Portland, Oregon. Now let's swing out to Oregon City, and we'll talk to Brian Stamm, the associate head coach at Clackamas Community College, and does a wonderful job there. How you doing tonight, Brian?
I'm doing great, Greg. Great to be on the show tonight.
Hey, Brian, I want to carry on some of the things we talked about here a little bit. In high school, you get a 10-minute halftime. That goes so quick. College, it's 15-minute. Is it fruitful to do a lot of adjusting at halftime, or does it just basically determine by what the score is and how things are going?
It's both, I believe. I think you definitely have to have halftime adjustments and be able to read what happened in the first half, how your game plan matched up with what the other team was doing against it, and make adjustments so that you can be more effective in the second half. But that comes from, like you said, kind of reading how it went and evaluating that to make those decisions.
Along those lines, during timeouts, Brian, I know this is kind of debated all the time, do you want the kids talking in those timeouts, or is it really only reasonable that the coach should do most of the talking? And I'm not saying it's not a democracy, but how do you treat timeouts? How do you like the style to be?
Well, the most important thing for me in a timeout is to have the guys sitting in a specific order. So I always like to have the point guard right in front of me or Cliff as the head coach, so that, you know, because he's the one that's relaying most of your calls. So he needs to be the focus. And then your two guards on either side of him, and then your two bigger kids on the outside, and then everybody else circled around. But I think just lining up like that gives you, because you've only got a minute in those full timeouts, so you got to get down, sit down, get a quick drink for them. Maybe, you know, Cliff will look to me and say, hey, what do you think here? But then you got to address the kids, and it's not so much time for them to talk as it is for them to listen and see what we're doing. Now, the situation exists where we might ask, hey, what have you been seeing with this? How are they guarding you? You know, and try and structure something to that. So we do encourage, especially the point guard who has been running the show and gets a little bit different look at things than we do, to have some things to say. But it is majority the coaches talking and saying things up.
Brian, it's obviously September 26th. In about 2 hours, it'll be September 27th. But right on September 26th, what's your talented and expertise assessment of the 16-17 Clackamas Cougars?
Well, we've been going for 2 weeks. In those 2 weeks, I think we got about 8 practices in. And then we had our first day of school today and our first practice. But we have kind of an interesting thing. During the first 3 days of school every year, our school student bookstore hires our team to run security all day and check backpacks to eliminate theft at our bookstore during a time of high volume of customers for them. So for our first 3 days, once school starts, we don't get to do a lot of teaching stuff because we're missing 3 guys, you know, for the first hour and 3 different guys for the second hour of practice to that bookstore duty. So, but as far as what I've seen so far, I'm really excited about our kids. I think we've got a really good group that really wants to do things the Clackamas way and be gentlemen and, you know, act with class and you know, do things the way that we've always done and had success with. So that gets me really excited, and I think we've got some talent and some kids that are warriors and want to go to battle, and that's all you can ask for when you lace them up every night.
Very good. You know, what is different about practices, Brian, this time of year, besides maybe length, and maybe I'm even wrong there, as compared to when we're in the first week of January, right, of heading to league play? Is there a difference?
There definitely is. You know, right now is a big teaching time in practice, and so we're getting as many reps and putting in as many things as we can. But by the time you get to league, it's more about game planning. And the biggest thing that we do once we get to league is we really work on our shooting and our individual skills and how they build into our offense and our defense. So we spend a lot of time with that, and practices do get shorter as you move on through the year because there's less to teach, and you can just go through repetitions of all your different drills without having to stop and correct things. And this is the time where you have to do that. You have to, you know, pause a drill and show a kid what they did wrong and explain it to the whole team why it was wrong and how it should be done properly.
And along those lines, I imagine there's a lot of individual work done this time of year, whereas maybe it's more, and not to say it's not team, it's always team, more team later on. Is that correct?
For us, it's about 50-50 always. I would say right now it's maybe a little bit more team because we're doing so much teaching of our team concepts on offense, on defense, on our motion sets, on our set plays, all that type of stuff. So there is a lot more team right now, but we do always build in a individual skill development piece into practice. But I think once we get later in the season, we spend our time on game planning, but also just you know, that's when we really focus on our skill stuff and we get a lot of shots up so that we're really prepared when it comes to game time to shoot game rhythm shots that we've been working on all week and getting used to.
Great job tonight, Brian. Pleasure to know you and all the work you do with not only outstanding coaching, being the associate coach, but skill development and all the good things that go along with being a complete basketball player. We'll talk to you again next Monday night.
Sounds good, Greg. Thank you very much. Have a good week.
You betcha. You too. That is Brian Stamm, the associate head coach at Clackamas Community College in Oregon City, Oregon. Thanks to Tony Broaddus, Trevor Hopp tonight. We miss Coach Javka, but he very seldom misses. Obviously, first day of school, probably a lot of things going on, as Coach Hopp alluded to, but we'll be back again next Monday night at 9:30 Pacific time, and every Monday night at 9:30 Pacific time. Spread the word. We do this show year-round, and we hardly ever miss a week. We're happy to have you as a listener. We're always looking for new listeners, new ideas, and everything that goes along with it. Good night, everyone, and have a great week, and don't forget to make your free throws.